Thank you, Neil. And we've been together off and on for, what, 30 years? Maybe more, hasn't it? About 30 years. I used to be their pastor when I was in Elmont, Michigan. I was there for 35 years. And Neil and Edith are precious jewels of God's grace, and we just praise the name, praise the Lord for it. Now, I've moved. I went to Arkansas for 12 years, and now I've been back. I moved back to Michigan, and I was unable to take or have Neil come with me this summer, to when we went to Conyers, Georgia. And they fell in love with him just like you folks are falling in love with him here. And I don't often brag on people, but I can brag on Neil a little bit. I personally believe that God has a thing like that. Now, the songs that he sings have been composed by a dear friend of mine by the name of Edward Hale. He's now in glory. And he played the guitar, but he didn't ever play the harmonica. And Neil got a hold of those songs, and Brother Hale died and went to glory, and now Neil's carrying them on. And I have but one regret. Brother Hale's wife has yet to hear Neil in person, but I'm hoping that'll be happen in the near future. She's 90 years old, and she's not too well, but the songs that Brother Hale sings, I'll tell you right now, if you listen to them, every one of them got a message in them. They're not contemporary. They got a message in them. Now tonight, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to two passages of Scripture. The first one is found in Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to read beginning at verse 37 down through verse 39, and then the second one is going to be found in the Old Testament. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now let me emphasize that. We are living in the days of Noah. And the days of Noah are a signpost for us to know that the return of the Lord is drawing nigh. Nobody but God knows when he will return to take away his bride. But we find he's going to come in such an hour as you think not. And so we need to know, and we need to be ready. Now, as we look at the days of Noah, I found out that the vast majority of our religious people are ignorant with regard to the conditions of the days of Noah. So take your Bibles and go back with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 4. And in Genesis chapter 4, we're going to see the conditions that existed in the days of Noah. Genesis chapter 4, beginning with verse 16, down through verse 24. Follow along in your Bible, if you will. If you didn't bring it, you're half-dressed. I like to have people bring their Bibles. But in Genesis chapter 4, beginning at verse 16, we read, And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And unto Enoch were born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of all such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, Hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Shall we pray? Our Lord, tonight, thank you again for this time together when we can look into thy word and see the things that have taken place back in the future and how they have a relevancy of the things that are happening at this very hour. We only wish, Lord, that there were more here, but only thou dost know, and you brought the people here that you would have to be, and so we are satisfied with it. Now direct us as we study together. Open our understandings and help us to grasp these things that you have for us to learn. And then apply them especially to our heart. And Lord, as we learn them and have and attain them, we ask that thou will enable us to go out into the others round about us and begin to talk to them of how close the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is about to take place. Oh, our God, we thrill to think of it. And as we look at these days tonight, help us especially to understand like never before. And Lord, we're not looking for a sign. We're looking for thee. Thou art our God, and we are asking it again, Lord Jesus, come and receive us unto thyself. And how thankful we are that the tomb is empty. Our Lord is not there. He's only in the heavens, and I'll tell you right now, he's waiting to come after us, and it's not going to be very long. Thank you now for this time together. Now direct us as we study, and get glory to thyself in all that's done. We pray, Lord Jesus, now for thy sake. Amen. Our lesson tonight is going to fall into these two simple categories. First of all, we're going to look at the conditions of the days of Noah. No Bible student needs to be ignorant of the condition of the days of Noah. They're all set forth right here in Genesis chapters 4, 5, and 6. It'll only take about 30 minutes to read all three of them, and then I'll tell you right now, you'll have an understanding of the days of Noah. Always remember was, one of these things, the Lord says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now therefore, we ought to know what these days are like. And so tonight, for a few moments, I want to share with you the condition of the days of Noah. Look at Genesis chapter 4 and verse 17, and listen to what it says. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Enoch. And look at these words. And he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Now what do you have here? The condition of the days of Noah. First of all, it was an age of city building. Now look at the parallel at today. I've been through New Orleans. I've been to Little Rock. I've been to Grand Rapids. I've been to many great cities. I've been to Washington. And I've been to Los Angeles. And I'll tell you right now, wherever I go, we find at this present hour, there's a rush of city building going on right at this present hour. Now how come? City building is a place for sin. And we find men and women today are gravitating towards the city, and we find they're doing what? They're gravitating them so they can live in sin like never before. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? All right. The first, we find what happened. The first city that was being built in the Bible was the city of Babel. And God had to destroy that, didn't he? Because we find it said, let us build us a tower and make a name for ourselves, then that tower may reach to heaven. They're trying to go to heaven without Christ. Then we find in the Old Testament, you have also not only the Tower of Babel, but you have also the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. God went down and finally destroyed them because of their wickedness. Moving on, in the Old Testament, we come also to the city of Nineveh. And then Jonah was sent by God to Nineveh, and he preached and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Why? Because Nineveh and the Tower of Babel, and we found also the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. What were they? They were nothing but hotbeds of sin and everything like that, until the cry of that sin arose to heaven and God did something about it. Now, why do I tell you this? We're living in those days at this hour. You go to the city of Detroit, and I'll tell you right now, you better almost have a gun with you. You go to some of the other big cities, and I'll tell you right now, if you're white and you go to a certain section of these cities, I'll tell you right now, you better have an escort, or you better know how to take care of yourself and have guns, because 9 times out of 10, you're not going to come back without being harmed. Now, how come the cities of the world today are hotbeds of sex and sin and everything else? And it was that way in the days of Noah, and it's that way in the days of this present age. We find, here's the first aspect of the city, of the conditions of Noah. It was an age of city building. The city was constructed and desired to live in, and constant city building is going on today across the world. Some of my folks down that I know in Grand Rapids, in fact, a young lad went there. He went down to Guatemala. And he went down to the capital city. He said, Pastor, he told me, he said, Brother Pete, he said, there's 2.5 million people in that city. And he said, what a mess it is. He said, it's ruled by gangs and the government doesn't do anything about it. And he said, right now, it's a place of sin like you've never seen. That's the character of cities today. And we find it was that way in the days of Noah, and it's that way in this present hour as we're living in at this very moment. The second thing about the days of Noah was this. It was not only an age of city building, but then we find also it was an age of polygamy. Look with me if you will. We find very clearly in verse 19. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, the name of the other Zillah. And then in verse 23, and Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly, Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Now you say, preacher, what were you talking about? All right, Lamech here is the father of polygamy. Solomon had 1,000 wives. David had many wives. And we find Abraham had more, had several wives. How God put up with that in the Old Testament is still a mystery to me. But I'll tell you right now, we have a refined act of polygamy at this present hour. Now what is it, preacher? All right, take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 17 and see it for yourself. In Luke chapter 17, and we find beginning at verse 26, the Word of God brings it out for our learning. The book of Luke chapter 17. And we find, why do I tell you this? Because we need to know this. This is the days in which we are living. Now someone might say, well, preacher, there's not polygamy in America. There? Did you read what happened in Texas? Did you see what happened in Texas with those, with that commune there? And they had those little children, some of them 14, 15 years old. And what were they doing? They were giving birth to children. And we find, what did they have? They had a leader that was responsible for the most of it. That's polygamy, my friend. But then there's another refined form of it. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 26, we read, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now what in the world do you have here? All right, notice. They ate, they drank, they married wives. What are you talking about? All right. What do we have today? We have divorce. I should say marriages usually wind up in divorce. In some places in America, it's over 50%. All right. What are they doing? Here's the attitude of getting married today. Well, if it doesn't work out, I'll put somebody away and I'll go marry somebody else. And people today are doing that. Are you listening? That's just another form of polygamy. And you know what it is? It's plain sin. God has decreed that a man should live with a woman until death do us part. And I know people look at us and every time they find about it, they hear about it, I should say, they're amazed. My wife and I have been married for 55 years. We're soon going to have our 56th anniversary. And I'll tell you right now, we never even thought of divorce. We don't think of divorce today. And yet we find that our young people, where they say, well, if it doesn't work out, I'll divorce and marry somebody else. That's nothing but a form of polygamy, and it was that way in the days of Noah, and I'll tell you right now, it's that way in the days of this modern 21st century. You see, we're closer to the coming of the Lord than a lot of people think we are, because as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Now go back again to Genesis chapter 4, if you will, and you look with me. In Genesis chapter 4, you have another characteristic of the days of Noah. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 20, listen to what it says. And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. Now what's going on at this present hour? Let me tell you, there's the beginning of a worldwide famine. You know why? Because America is responsible for a lot of it. The American government is spending millions of dollars paying the farmers not to grow anything. And now when we find out that they can make ethanol, they can make it out of sugar cane, they can make it out of corn, they can make it out of grass, they're making it out of the rice stalks from the rice down in Arkansas, and we find instead of our Congress doing the right thing, they're still telling people, well, we'll pay you so much not to grow anything. Now how come? In the days of Noah, it was an age of agriculture. In the days of the 21st century, it's still an age of agriculture. Brazil is coming up as the breadbasket of the world. during World War II, and I was in World War II, I'll tell you right now, America fed the world without any difficulty, and they could do it again. But what's happening? We find very clearly our politicians are doing the wrong thing, but I want to leave this with you. In the days of Noah, it was an age of agriculture, and in the days of today, it is still an age of agriculture, because I'm going to tell you right now, you can't eat sand, and you can't eat oil, you got to have food. And we need to understand that very clearly, that agriculture today is still an age of agriculture. And I have a nephew by marriage, I should say, and we find right now he's a rice farmer in Arkansas, and he's farming better than 1,000 acres. And he grows rice and soybeans. And I've been on his farm, and I'll tell you right now, he's got the finest farm machinery you can possibly have, but he's struggling because of the fact that the government is messing around and destroying the privilege and the opportunity they have of growing the things they ought to do. But we're living in the days of Noah, an age of city building, an age of polygamy, and it's an age of agriculture. And we can compare that with this present day. The fourth thing I want to leave with you is this. In Genesis chapter 4 again, we find in verse 21, and his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. Now you say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, in the days of Noah, it was also an age of music. Now, I enjoy this kind of music. I don't care for contemporary music. And there's one particular song they love to sing with the contemporary, and it goes like this. Shine, Jesus, shine, and blaze, Holy Spirit, blaze, and so on. And when you look at the words, there's really no sense to it, and it reminds you as if you're standing on the side as a spectator, and the Lord Jesus Christ is a football player, and you're encouraging him on. And there's no respect for God whatever. But today is a day of, it's an age of music. If you want to sell something, put a little ditty tune to it, and I'll guarantee you right now, you'll sell it like nobody's business. It was that way in the days of Noah. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find Jubal was the father of all who were musicians, and the jingles of today are used to sell anything. And I remember a number of years ago, when I was in Chicago, a group of us went to a place called House Square. It has the name Washington Park. It's one of the key sites of Chicago, because that's the place where anybody can come and they can talk about anything in that park. And when we were there, there was a man by the name of One Arm Charlie. And we find that he spoke so many times outside that his voice was very raspy. But we went over there one night, a group of us, and we heard him denouncing the Word of God and everything like that. And so we had two boys with us from Hawaii. And they brought their instruments with them. And we started doing this. We gathered them around. They started playing their instruments and singing. And you know what happened? All the people left old One Arm Charlie and came over to listen to the music. And when they got through playing music, we began to talk to them about the price of eggs in China. Now, how come? It's an age of music. You want people's attention? Some little ditty of some sort, and put it to some kind of a jingle, and I'll guarantee you right now, you'll always have an audience, because it was that way in the days of Noah, it's also that way at this present hour in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Then there's the fifth thing, and we find again, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 22. Listen to what it says. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Now, Tubal-Cain was the leader of this industry. And what was it? Notice, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And what do you have here? You have here the age of industry. Industry. We're living in an age of industry. In New York, and we find in Michigan, all right, the automobile factories are beginning to shut down because what they've done, they've priced themselves out of the market. But there's other automobiles industry that are rising all over the country or all over the world, and they're bringing cars into America, and we find there's a real competition. And what is it? We find they all have to have steel, they have to have plastic, they have to have aluminum, and so on. And what is it? It's an age of industry. It was that way in the days of Noah. It was an age of industry, and we see it set forth right here. And we notice carefully, if you will, the word tubalcain means smith of scoria, or an inventor of working in iron. And this was found in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 22. She bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. This sixth thing about the age of Noah was this. It was also an age of violence and upheaval. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? All right, take your Bibles, well, in Genesis chapter 4, if you will. Look with me in verse 23. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. Now what are you doing here? He's bragging about the fact he killed somebody. And are you listening? Policemen today are picking up people all the time that are killers. And they have no remorse whatsoever. And my nephew in Arkansas was almost put to death by those two kids that shot up that school. 11 years old and 13 years of old. And we find, what did they do? They stole the guns from their grandfather's gun case, and they got on top of a hill, and they waited until the kids were coming out, and they shot them down, and they killed at least one teacher. And my nephew, if he would have been 5 minutes earlier, because he was supposed to be, he was held up for 5 minutes, or otherwise he would have been one of the first ones, and I guarantee you right now, they'd have shot him dead. And when the policeman found him, that 11-year-old was a marksman, and he had his rifle ready. And when the policeman looked at him, he said, these are nothing but kids. And he turned to that boy, he had his gun out. He said, son, he said, drop that rifle, because that rifle was pointed at him. He said, drop that rifle, or I'll blow you away. Now, why do I tell you this? An age of violence, an age of murder, an age that we're living as an age of violence. It was that way in the days of Noah. Well, how do you know, preacher? You're so dogmatic about it. Well, let me prove it to you, if I may. Turn to Genesis chapter 6, and you look with me in verse 5, and this is what it says. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Then in verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Now, I'm not reading a newspaper. I'm reading to you from the Word of God. And the Word of God said this in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And beloved, I want to say to you tonight, I am absolutely convinced that we are living in the days of Noah, and the next event is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ after his saints. Are you ready? Do you know him? Are you ready to go if he comes tonight? Oh, if not, I urge you at this hour, don't fool around with anything, but instead, do this. Sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners, and you're the sinner. You see, in the age of violence and upheaval, Lamech became the second murderer. Cain was the first one. And then we find also, we see very clearly, there was a loosening of the morals. And there was a breeding of murder and violence. And in verse 11, we find the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now let's look at that word corrupt for just a moment. What's it mean? Crookedness. Greed. And what do we have at this present hour? Crookedness and greed. And we have politicians today that are out for one thing. They're out to seek power, and they promise they're going to be a change and everything like that. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I'd like to talk to every one of them. I said, you've been in Congress for a number of years, and now you're telling us that you're going to bring a change? Why didn't you do it while you were in Congress? And you want to know something? They wouldn't be able to answer me. And I'm no politician. But we find this is the age in which we are living. And it was an age also now, notice, violence and upheaval. But then I want you to notice something else. It was also an age of gospel preaching. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Genesis chapter 5, if you will, look with me. I'll give you three examples of godly preaching that was going on in the days of Noah. In Genesis chapter 5, beginning with verse 22, we read, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Here's the first man that went to heaven without dying. He's a picture, the Old Testament picture, of a New Testament truth of the rapture of the church, which is going to take place at any minute. And then we find Enoch was a gospel preacher. Well, how do you know, Pastor? All right, take your Bibles now. Go back with the book of Jude, if you will, and I'll show you the kind of preaching that Enoch preached. In the book of Jude, and we find very clearly the Word of God brings it out. In verse 14 and 15, and listen to what it says. "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Now that was the kind of preaching that Enoch did. Don't you wish we had more of it today? I do. But we find in the days of Noah, it was an age of gospel preaching and the evidence of the Lord God of heaven. Again, go back with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 6. And we find, I want you to notice something, if you will, or Genesis chapter 5, I should say. And I want you to notice something else. And we see very clearly, notice, in Genesis chapter 5, the Word of God brings this out for our learning. Listen to it, if you will. Enoch in verse 21. "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died." Now what in the world are you talking about? All right, the word Methuselah means this. When he is gone, or when he is dead, it shall be sin. And Methuselah lived 969 years. He died in the 600th year of Noah, and in the 600th year of Noah, the flood came. You see, this is the age of Noah, and we find the days of Noah. It was the age of gospel preaching, and we find also, then what are you talking about? Noah himself was a great preacher. Take your Bibles again, if you will, and turn back to 2 Peter chapter 2, and look with me at verses 4 and 5. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, we read these words, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." These are the days of Noah. You say, what are you talking about? An age of city building, an age of polygamy, an age of agriculture, an age of music, an age of industry, an age of violence and upheaval, and an age of gospel preaching. And we find it was an age of gospel preaching, as I mentioned before, and we see this is going on at this present hour. Thank the Lord, there's still a few of us preachers that are left that dare preach the gospel. Amen. Now, I pastored one church for 35 years, and I had three splits in it. And the fourth split was coming, and God knew it, and God moved me out of there. And that church today is not what it was when this pastor was there. It's not the same. They got a different man there, they got a different attitude, and I'll tell you right now, it's not the same whatever. Now why do I tell you this? God gave that church and 35 years of visitation, and they refused to continue, and now God let them go. And the churches today are doing the same thing. In Grand Rapids, Michigan, there's a church today that's the hotbed of homosexuality. Sodomites. It's the hotbed of sodomites. It's got a flag out in front of it. And that flag testifies to those sodomites that here's a place where they're welcome. Because you see, the sodomites have their own flag. And that church, listen now, that church at one time was a fundamental Baptist church and it was responsible for the founding of 22 Baptist churches in the city of Grand Rapids. And today, it's nothing but a place of sodomy and sex perverts. Now, why do I tell you this? Because, beloved, listen, we're living in the days of Noah. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The preaching of the gospel is going around the world because I'm on the internet and they can pick me up at practically any time of the day and 7 days a week. And we find the days of Noah are upon us at this hour. It's the preaching of the gospel going around the world as prophesied in Matthew 24. And then we find it's an age of the rejection of the truth as it was in the days of Noah, because only 8 people in the days of Noah really got converted. It was an age of the rejection of the truth. And we find very clearly the days of Noah are being applied today, or I should say being prevalent today, because here we have, in Noah's day, he built an ark. Are you listening? And today, the Lord Jesus Christ is still building His church. And His church has evidence around the world that the Lord Jesus Christ is what He says He is. And He'll do what He says He'll do. And then we expect it of Him. And tonight, Brother Don brought in the prayer meeting, he said, I just had a fellow phone call from a pastor over there in the Philippines that this group helps to support. And he said, pray for me and my house. All right? Here you have the gospel preaching here, the gospel preaching in Michigan, the gospel preaching a little bit in Arkansas, the gospel preaching a little bit in Louisiana, and in others and in Georgia. And we find the gospel is being preached also in the Philippines. We're living in the days of Noah. And the only thing that holds back the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is this. The last soul for whom Christ died in this dispensation has not yet been converted. When he is, or he, or she, whoever it may be, that's how close we are to the coming of the Lord Jesus. And I leave this with you. You ready to meet him? Are you going up with me in the rapture? Oh, I hope and pray that you are. If you're not sure about it, I urge you at this present hour, you do this. Ask the Lord to open your heart, show you your need, and when He does, He'll put a cry in your heart, and you'll sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners, and you're the sinner. And when He saves you, it'll be the greatest thing that can ever take place this side of eternity. Shall we pray? Our Lord, tonight, thank you again for being able to look into Thy Word and seeing the parallel of the days of Noah with the days of which we are living at this present hour and this year. And we ask you, Lord, help us to be faithful and true unto Thee and to stand with Thee and for Thee until the end. Oh, Lord, we don't know when you're coming back, but we feel that it's not going to be very long. And as we look around about us and see these practical things telling us, oh, our God, we're living in the days of Noah. And we know that the age of grace is going to end abruptly when you come after here to your church. So, our God, we pray, O undertake and help us to be true to Thee, no matter what the cost may be. And thank you again for each one that you brought this way. Bless every family that's represented, and work out Thy purpose in each heart and life for Thy glory. We ask it, Lord Jesus, now for Thy sake. Amen. Neil, would you come and play one more song in the closing chorus, if you will? I know you have one ready.